Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. Wednesday, a day of reckoning for the Roman Catholic Church in Maryland.
The nearly 500-page report released by Maryland's Attorney General offers sometimes agonizing detail on cases of child sexual abuse dating back 80 years and involving 600 victims, all at the hands of priests and personnel with the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Archbishop William Laurie offered an apology to survivors and said, while hard to imagine, quote, these evil acts did occur. Kate Ryan for CBS News, Washington.
A tornado roared through rural Mississippi early Wednesday morning, killing at least five people. CBS's Adriana Diaz says storms have been pummeling many parts of the Midwest.
At least 11 tornadoes were reported since Tuesday across Missouri, Iowa, and Illinois. The severe weather battering the Midwest is part of the same storm system that brought up to 18 inches of snow in the Dakotas over the past 2 days, crippling travel on major highways.
From drought to deluge, California's water woes may be waning.
A report from the California Department of Resources shows two of the state's largest reservoirs in Shasta and Oroville are now nearing capacity, while the state's fifth largest, San Luis, is already at capacity. Other reservoirs in the state that are rebounding include the one in Don Pedro, while McClure and Sonoma are not far behind.
CBS's Linda Kenyon. A spokesman says former Vice President Mike Pence will not appeal a judge's order compelling him to testify in the Justice Department's investigation into efforts by Donald Trump and his allies to overturn the results of the 2020 election. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
Even though the special counsel can't ask about especially the legislative efforts by Vice President Pence on January 6th, he certainly will want to probe into conversations he may have had with Donald Trump before the events and after the events.
Just what are singles looking for in a partner? CBS's Jen Clark knows.
For singles in the USA, France, and Canada, personality is more important than finances. However, in India, money is still more important than a person's character. Overall, women were more likely than men to look for a partner who is financially stable.
The Dutch have named a new tulip for, it's called the Jill Biden. The First Lady accepted her tulip Wednesday from the Dutch ambassador to the U.S. during a ceremony at the ambassador's residence in Washington. Jill Biden's tulip is a reddish-orange color with fringed petals. The Dutch have named tulips after seven U.S. First Ladies, starting in the late 1800s with Grover Cleveland's wife, Frances. This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura-battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article in the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome to the 1 o'clock No Sour Ha Ha Funny Hour. No Sour. Happy fun time, haha! Power hour. Welcome to the No Sour Fun Time, haha! Power hour.
Oh, she did it!
I got it! I got it!
I think she's got it! I think she's got it!
By George, she's got it! By George, she's got it!
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada yada yada.
Welcome to the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. You said it. Yeah, I've heard you say it right before.
Yeah, yeah, I've been saying it right. It took me about a month, but we've been saying it right.
Maybe longer. That's fine.
What? That's fine. That's what? Fine. We got Greg Bach here. We got Gene Madden here, as always. And we also have Milwaukee comedian AJ Grill on the phone. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. We're this show's flying by.
Yeah.
We had lots of comedians today. We should do this more.
Yeah, we should have more comedians on. We need more attention.
We need more. We need to live up to the tagline.
Yeah.
The tagline of one joke at a time.
Yeah.
Because
thank you.
There's a lot of serious things, but we need more jokes, AJ.
Other than Greg, who else did you have on today?
We had Corey Ryan Forrester from the Well Read group, because he had we didn't even have him on for necessarily the most fun reason, because he had a video that went fairly viral this week about becoming a new dad and not being more conservative because of the shooting that happened in Nashville. But he was still funny.
Very funny.
We got around to the comedy part as well. But we're very happy to have you here as a Milwaukee comedian for the last 10 years, and you got a new album out. And so out, or have you just filmed it?
It's out. It's on YouTube. The audio version has not come out yet, but we will be releasing that soon. But yeah, it's on YouTube for everyone to go view.
And
it's
what's called, it called,
AJ? I'll quit when I'm 30.
There it is.
Are you 30?
I'm 31.
31.
He quit a year ago. He still comes to the open mics. He's like, I don't know why I'm doing this. I had a contract with comedy.
Yep. That's right.
So is that the premise of the album? Is basically when you started comedy 10 years ago. And did you have a promise to yourself that you'd quit when you were 30?
Yes, it's not the premise of the album, but yes, I remember walking home from my second open mic ever thinking, if I don't have a career, I was 21. I was like, if I don't have a career by 30, I'll quit. Which is, if you're in comedy, that's just an insane thing to think that you can't achieve. But it's just something that I've always thought about, and now I know that I'm never going to quit, probably.
No, we are addicted.
Well, and it's interesting in creative pursuits, and I would love to get your opinion on this, like, what does having a career mean? Because I think that is probably something that each person has to define for themselves. But does it mean paying your bills with it? Does it mean getting to do it? Because whether it's acting or music or comedy, like, what does success look like? And so I guess for you, 10 years in, what has that changed over time? Or like, what is having a career, quote, I'm doing air quotes for people who are just listening. What does that mean?
That's partially why I called the album that, is because it's up for debate. I think to me it means being able to pay my bills with it, but I think I would be doing myself a disservice to say that I don't have a career in comedy. I do have a career in comedy, and I've got to do comedy all over and do some cool stuff with it. But I think, to me, yeah, career is making a living doing it, which I'm not full time yet, but, you know, working my way there.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things with Corey is he was talking about having a special. He just released a special with the guys he works with. And I just wanted to know, you know, we see all these specials on Amazon and Netflix and everything, and kind of get an idea of what goes into the process when you have a big production company. But you did this from the ground up on your own, put together everything. Like, what is it like to put together a special that you there was video and audio of yourself? Like, what's the process?
Yeah, I worked with a local group that they really focused on like music production, or not music production, like music videos. They're called Here Here Presents, and I worked on a project with their director, Cheston, and I just loved his work, and he was really good. But yeah, they had never done comedy before, so it was it was learning for me, it was learning for them. If I could go back, there's definitely some things that I would change, but I'm very happy with the product. But it's, you know, it was a learning experience for all of us. I'm better for it. I know that they are better for it. But it was tough, you know, jumping into a part of comedy that I've never ever experienced before. So it was tough. And, you know, hindsight's always 20/20 or whatever they say. So yeah, it was tough, but I was happy with the people, especially like Cheston that I had to kind of direct and worry about all the camera stuff. And I just really had to worry about the jokes.
We're talking to comedian AJ Grill about his new album called I'll Quit When I'm 30. Where can people find it? On YouTube right now?
YouTube. Yep. YouTube. Follow me on Instagram. I will be announcing when we're going to release the audio. Hopefully that'll get on like SiriusXM and stuff too. So
when you say a part of comedy that you hadn't played in before, what do you mean, the album itself, or like how does that look different than just, cause you know, I feel like when you watch a special, it looks like they're just doing, and sometimes they cut between multiple different shows, but it's the same set. But it's largely just looks like you are doing your set, but there's cameras there as well. So like when you say that part of comedy, like what was so new about it and so different than just doing your set at any comedy club?
For sure. I mean, we do live shows all the time, right? And I've been on camera before. I've recorded my own sets or been at places that they record your set. But this was different because I had a couple $1,000s invested in it, which was one thing. Which, you know, and I knew I had to get it right, but it was the culmination of 10 years of work, that, you know, those jokes, other than like two or three of them, are going to be done now. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it was, and yeah, I don't know about distribution. I don't know about, you know, getting it on all these other platforms. Like, I've only ever focused on the show that I have that night, making it the best that it can possibly be. Where this was like, I'm jumping into this thing that's going to live on, hopefully past, you know, beyond me. And how do I make it the best I can possibly make it? So yeah, it was nerve wracking.
Yeah. Cause when you decide you're going to do a special or record a record, usually, I mean, you know, from our experience, you used to say like, all right, next year I'm going to do it, because that means at that point you're going to start even the material you've been doing for years, over and over and over again, you now have to take a special microscope to, a special magnifying glass to, and say, I have to look at this joke I've been doing for years, and I really have to fine tune it. I have to hone it down. No fat on this joke, no extraneous words, and it has to be perfect. And I have to be able to recite that perfectly for this camera that, as you said, AJ, I've paid thousands of dollars for.
Yeah.
And it's part of that. Because I've found this in like the handful of sketches I've made with friends, and we've decided to film it. And we'll be laughing so hard in person, and maybe it's just because we think we're hilarious. But like when we're actually filming the thing and seeing our friend perform, or being at Laughing Tap and and being there in person, and the contagious sense of laughter in person. And so when you're saying you have to make the joke that tight, is it because things that are very funny in person don't always translate to be as funny on camera? Or is it because it just lives on forever? Like, what is the... What is the, in either of you can answer
this. Yeah, from my point of view, it just has to do with the time of the show. So like, you know, an album or a special has a finite amount of time you can record. So I have to make sure that if I'm doing a joke, if I have 60 minutes of material, that every joke stays within that confines. Because if you think about it, if I tack another 10 seconds onto every joke I do, I've gone over my time.
Hmm.
I've got to hone it down so that 60 minutes is tight, is right there, and everything. Now, AJ, I mean, I don't know how you think about it, though. So
yeah, no, I think it's both of those things, right? I mean, like, you want it to be as tight as you possibly can. But especially as you think about, like, yeah, you're not in the room with me and the audience, and so it does have to hit super hard. And then on the flip side of that, if you think about the audio, you're not seeing the little idiosyncrasies. Mm-hmm. You just had to tell the audience you were doing air quotes. I mean, you can't see my act outs. I have a particular joke where I talk about my grandmother with Parkinson's, who also has a concealed carry permit. And I do the little act out of shaking the gun around, but that's not going to translate as well in the video, or excuse me, the audio. You got to think about all those sorts of things.
And what I love about AJ, because AJ, as he knows, is one of my favorite people. I think about that joke. I love that joke. And now I'm telling that joke in my head because I love that joke so much. She got a shiny new
one
gun.
One thing I didn't add it into the album, but my grandmother is now in an assisted living, and I was gifted that gun.
Yeah. So
now
Jane, you had a question?
I do. AJ, is it, now you said you're going to have to give up some jokes because they're, you know, it's recorded forever. Isn't that like giving up a favorite thing? I just would think that for some jokes, it's got to be so painful. It's like, God, I love that joke, and it kills every time. And oh,
yeah, there's part of that. And I mean, that's not to say that if someone's going to pay me good money to headline outside of the city of Milwaukee, I'll break into some of those old jokes. Don't be wrong. The price is right. But like, I think I would like to. I don't have kids, but I imagine like by the time your kid's 18, you're like, okay, you got to go. Like, it's time for you. I love you. I love you so much, but you gotta get out of here.
I'm sick of you. I'm sick of telling you.
I mean, yeah, that's,
yeah, move on.
That's the thing about, like, you know, when we watch our, I don't know if we call them colleagues or whatever, but these comics who are out there putting out, especially every 2 years, I mean, that's what they're doing. They write new material, they tour it for about a year, then they spend a year honing it, and then they do their special, and then in the industry we call it burning. You burn that hour. You burn the hour, and it's gone. Now, there are some people like Jim Gaffigan. He's a very gracious comedian. He understands where his appeal is, and he will get back on stage for an encore and be like, who wants to hear an old joke? Are there any requests? He does that. That's not in the specials, but he knows that people want to hear Hot Pockets. You know, like, they want to hear that.
Right, exactly.
You know?
That's so interesting, and we have to go to break, but it's such an interesting idea because I think that there's a Joni Mitchell quote where, like, she says something like, you know, art and all the different times of art, but no one ever asked Van Gogh, like, just paint Starry Night again, man. Like, unlike music.
For sure, exactly.
Like, you go because you want to hear that song.
Yeah.
And there's certain jokes that it's like, no matter how many times you hear it, it's still funny.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, but AJ Grill will still be here when we come back. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
The Devil's Advocates, because freedom.
But Dom, we've been following a couple of big stories this week. Truck convoy leader has no idea where he is and is driving in circles around I-495. He didn't know precisely where he was going anyways or where he was at the time. Apparently, he put the convoy back on the road, headed back up north, and he's back in Scranton. So
I totally would have protested this tyranny, but damn, the traffic was so bad.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Weather brought to you by Freshfin, bringing you a fresh and healthy fast casual experience. Seafood, chicken, pork, or tofu. The bowl options at Freshfin are endless. Check them out at the corners of Brookfield, Bayshore Mall, East Side, and Third Ward, or online at freshfin.com.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly clear overnight with a low of 28. Westerly winds 20 to 25 miles an hour. Clear skies tomorrow. Highs level off around 49. Clear skies and quiet again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 28. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Friday, with daytime highs approaching 48. 55 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Get the idea?
We've got hope. We don't sit around.
Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and Mr. Greg Bach is here. Now, Greg, I have been holding on to this topic since I went to the Cubs Brewers game on Saturday. You look like you're not paying attention to the story.
I'm listening to everything you're saying.
You.
But I also hear you say the Cubs, so I go on. I'm listening.
Well, we won that game. I would imagine that you would have been excited.
Oh, that game. I thought you were talking about opening day.
No, I'm talking about Saturday.
Yeah.
So you're not listening.
I'm listening.
And I have to say, as much as you last Wednesday had been not very happy about the changes that are happening in Major League Baseball right now.
Yeah.
It may have just been because I was very cold at Wrigley at the game on Saturday. But I have to say, I kind of liked it.
How long was the game?
Well, we still left at the bottom of the sixth because I was so cold.
Okay, well then,
so. But started at 1:10 or 1:30? 1:10?
1:10.
I think the game was done by 4.
That's an average game. It's about 3 hours.
I'm guessing right now. I didn't time it myself, but I just felt faster.
I don't know. Maybe I'm 45, and as I'm not, maybe I'm not becoming more conservative with age, but I'm just becoming more just whatever. I like baseball the way it is. And I don't need it to be faster. And I don't think the incremental changes, and I said it before, I don't think these small changes are going to bring hordes of fans. I just don't. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make it shorter, more action-packed. Baseball's not an action-packed game. It's just not.
And I think as a person who... I would never argue that I appreciate baseball and say the way that you appreciate baseball. But didn't Fancy Brian say that as a big baseball fan, that's his nickname here, that he was like, he really thought that this was like the right move, right?
Yeah. Brian Kelly and Luke Mathers went to the home opener on Monday, Brian said he could absolutely tell and thought it was fabulous, and it just really kept things moving along.
Maybe.
And then we started having a discussion about the glove wrangling and the adjusting and the swing at the ball.
Okay, Grandpa. Jeez. Maybe I can go on their show and they can talk to me about this and kind of bring me into the light, because I don't know. It seems weird. And I really wanted to go to the home opener on Monday. I was very bummed, especially like a 10-0 blowout and then a 9-0 blowout.
Someone made that joke last night. Like, who got beat worse last night, the Mets or Dan Kelly?
Nice.
Hey-o.
Hey-o.
It's the Mets.
Which is hilarious because I mean, again, I follow baseball as far as the headlines that make it into not like ESPN news, but like, oh, this popped up in my newsletter of all of the news that I am reading for the day. And the fact that that billionaire hedge fund guy spent $370 million on the Mets this year, only to get smashed by our little team right out of the gate this season. I was like, well, that feels good.
Yeah, I mean, that says a lot for a team that cut their payroll by $1 million this year from last year and is still far below the MLB league average, which is about $100 million. I mean, it says a lot, the fact this is where I wanted to go. I really do. I mean, we've got Christian Yelich, and Christian Yelich is going to pop one of these days.
Oh my gosh.
We spend so much money on him, and we are going to lose Corbin Burns in our, because of the arbitration thing. It's just, I'm remaining optimistic, but I'm not going to be surprised by anything that happens. We're sitting at the top of the division right now, of course, but there have been four games played. But the fact that we beat the Cubs and we beat the Mets so handily, I mean, okay, we got some power. But then again, the Brewers always come with power in the beginning, and somewhere around the break, they're like, we're going to go to lunch, and it's going to hurt the rest of you. I'm going to make a chili, and then I'm going to make a white bean soup. Eat them all at the same time, and then try to bat. Oh, my tummy.
Well, here, I saw this on TikTok, but someone was making the argument that, I'm just going to be honest when I see things on TikTok, because I am still do not want this app to go away.
That's fine.
So I'm going to be honest with the interesting information that I gather from it, which I saw someone who made an interesting point as far as the MLB thinking that these changes are what's going to bring people back to the game. And his point as a baseball watcher was like, no, it's because you make it really hard to watch baseball, in that like a lot of the cable packages you get, you get like 27 out of the 30 teams. So you're like, but I really care about watching the Atlanta Braves. It's like, well, you don't get that one.
No.
Sorry.
That's a complaint I hear every single season. I pay for this package, I can't watch my team. I'm paying good money, I can't watch my team. That's craziness. Baseball, I'm sorry, and this is another old man opinion, if the game is sold out or above a certain amount, it should be on a station that's accessible by the people. And I mean, listening to baseball is great on the radio, but I ain't got time for that. Like, I'll watch a game, but like listening on the radio, I am all over the place then. Things are happening and I'm not listening to Bob Uecker. But yeah, yes, it make it hard to watch it. And with every year it changes. Oh, this year it's on Bally's. This year it's on FS1. Mm-hmm. This year it's on Prime. This year, come on.
Oh, it is on Prime. It's Amazon bought the rights?
I think so. I think there's some baseball on it. But like, that's the thing, is every year it's different. And every year you're asking me to shell out so much money and just to say, you can't watch this game. I want my money back. Let's get yourself a ballpark pass, friend. $37 a month. Go to every game. Go to every game.
Yeah. When's the first? So you haven't gone to a game yet.
I haven't
this
gone
season.
I'm not scheduled to go to another game until next month, but I'm going to try to get to one maybe next
Well,
week.
You know that all season long, we're giving away tickets. So maybe you can listen to the show one day and call in.
No, thank you. Hey, I've started listening to the show. I just haven't bragged about it, okay? I haven't bragged about it. I texted
the
you.
The joke being that Greg Bach does not listen to our show when he's not on it.
I texted you one day as a response to something you all said on the show. It was very sweet, I thought, and you didn't respond back. So whatever. I said you were going to make him laugh, and you made him laugh, and whatever.
Whatever. All right. When we come back, we have a guest here who is going to talk to us about his new book. James Bastian is here. We're going to talk about Willa's Pursuit. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
We've got heart. We've got heart. Miles and miles and miles of heart. Oh, it's fine to be a genius, of course, but keep that old horse before the car. Who minds them pop bottles flying?
The hisses and boos.
The team has been consistent.
Yeah, we always lose.
But we're laughing cause we've got heart. We've got heart.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
CBS News Brief. Maryland Attorney General Anthony Brown has released a report detailing the abuse of hundreds of people in the Catholic Archdiocese of Baltimore.
Where we stand today, we have indicted one person as a result of this investigation. There are limits, regrettably, unfortunately, in the state of Maryland in terms of what the Attorney Attorney General can do.
Severe storms ripped through Louisville, Kentucky Wednesday. Mayor Craig Greenberg.
It's with a heavy heart that I'm reporting that we believe there is one fatality that is potentially related to the storm in southern Louisville.
Former Vice President Mike Pence will not appeal a judge's order to testify before a grand jury about Donald Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election. Former federal prosecutor Scott Fredrickson.
When the mobs were attacking the Capitol trying to stop the election, what did the president tell Vice President Pence, if anything, before, during, after?
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Max Inc. Radio presents Bob Blastica 2023. It's Max Inc.'s 27-year anniversary party, and you're invited. Bob Blastica at the Wisco on Willie Street, Saturday, April 15th. Max Inc. Radio's Jimmy K. Rocker and Terry Barr will broadcast live 6 to 9 p.m. Then live music from Eclipse record recording artist Carbellion. With special guest, Milwaukee's Wizard Hammer. Like a pyre, feathery wings, black in the sky, as the wind sings. And Mad City's own hard rockers, Iron Plow. We are the Iron Plow. Hey! It's Bomb Blastica 2023, Saturday, April 15th at the Wisco in Madison. Sponsored by Rocker Vodka and Hotel K Pet City. Presented by Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
The Republican Party on a national level, how many years did they investigate Hillary and Bill? They're still going to that.
They're still looking for her emails, right? But they don't look in the Trump septic tank for half the top secret classified documents that he was flushing during his term. When one party doesn't care about governing, just don't allow anything to happen when the Democrats are in charge, and then they think the American people are going to get boonswoggled into voting Republican again.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yeah!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I am a logger and my life is quite fine. I spent my years with the spruce and the pine. The ground that I walk on is the boom and the log. I know the Cantuck, Pike, Pole, and Chain Dog.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Metnair. We got Greg Bach here. And our guest for this segment is Wisconsin resident and author Jim Bastian, who is here to talk about his new book, Willa's Pursuit, which is a historical fiction novel, and the sequel to his first book, Wisconsin Logging Camp, thus the music. What was that song, Jane?
I Am a Logger.
I Am a Logger.
Yes.
We were
sway,
very were very in sync with our swaying.
Oh.
Jim, we missed out. You'll have to sway with us on the way out. But welcome to the show, Jim.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoy the show. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you here. So let's start with the first book. Since Willa's Pursuit is a sequel, what is the premise of Wisconsin Logging Camp 1921? And how much of it is just baked into the title?
Well, The book is a historical fiction, as you referenced, and it deals with Wisconsin logging in 1920, and it follows the family of two immigrant families, one from Poland and one from England. And it is, I would say, 92% history. I originally started to write a history. That's what I wanted to write, and it was the catalyst to get me interested in writing and a historical book had to do with an article from an old Eau Claire newspaper in which the editor wrote about three loggers and a boy finding a petrified body in the woods. Well, I thought, who is this guy? What's he doing there? And as I started researching, there wasn't any information. Well, actually, wrongly interpreted that as great news because it meant there was a void in the historical record that I would be about to fill. So I went on a decades-long pursuit of researching who was this guy in the woods. With the advent of the internet, I disappointingly learned it was a hoax.
He needed
2 inches to fill. So I had this volume of research about logging. I had the payroll records. I was trying to track down the boy. I thought he was the best bet, since this was from the 1920s and 30s, that he might be still kicking and I would be able to get an interview with him anyway. But it ended up being about a boy, because I had discovered that there were boys that rarely but periodically worked in logging camps. They were called chickadees, and they would scrape the residue from the horses that were on the ice trails and whatnot to make sure that when the loggers went out into the woods, that the sleds slid without impediments. So the book is about a chickadee. A 7-year-old boy immigrates from Germany and ends up as an orphan in the North Woods of Wisconsin. And while that sounds like a reach, it's actually based on true stories. And so it's an aggregate of snippets of immigrant families put together. And I didn't take the snippets to exaggerate. I took the snippets to coincide time and place. So it wasn't just this short story after short story. It was an aggregate of their experiences. And I didn't have enough time. There was too much information to have the search for the body in the same book. And so Willa's Pursuit is actually the culmination of that search. And Willa's Pursuit, although she doesn't know it when she starts, is about looking for the guy.
So, but then it I'm assuming, place, oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it takes place 40 years later, well, 50 years later, it's now 1970. And the sequel is Willa's father is the boy from book number one. So we're following the same family. They both take place in Wisconsin. So we're dealing with the same historical context, but different timelines, same family.
We're talking to Jim Bastian about his newest book and his first book, Willa's Pursuit. And then the first book is Wisconsin Logging Camp, 1921. So it sounds like so much historical research done for the first book, but then if you fast forward to the 1970s for the second book, what is the historical, what was the research that went into putting everything into context for that period?
I really like having rich content, and history supplies that. So rather than have to make things up, I rather just apply the rich historical context. Well, 1971 in Madison, Wisconsin. Madison was a flashpoint of the Vietnam War protests. If you remember, Sterling Hall was blown up. Society was trending quickly from June Cleaver and Betty Crocker to sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And Madison was a big part of that process. And so there's a lot going on. So to plunk our protagonist into that environment seemed like it really could enrich the content and give me an opportunity to bring in that historical component. The second part of it that I found of interest that has the strong foothold in reality is psychology. I was a former high school psychology teacher. I have no credentials beyond an undergraduate degree in psychology, like 40% college graduates, but I have an interest. And so I pulled together, that interest has allowed me to do some poking around. And Madison was also a part of the fundamental change in the field of psychology from Freud, Jung, Fromm, Adler, to the behavioralists, Harlow, B.F. Skinner, and experimental psychology. Well, our protagonist, Willa, the daughter of the boy from book one, is a graduate student in psychology in Madison in 1971, and she takes part in an experiment, and it's a risky experiment, and she has a traumatic experience from it. And so that brings all of those pieces together. In fact, the traumatic experience she has is a Harry Harlow experiment on sensory deprivation. And you might remember from your Psych 101 days, or your listeners will, where you have the two baby rhesus monkeys. One is clinging to a wire mesh form, and the other is clinging to a wire mesh form covered with terry cloth. And what that was Harlow's groundbreaking research on sensory deprivation, and found that the baby monkey that was clinging to just the wire mesh had social deprivation development issues and brain development shortcomings, whereas the monkey that was clinging to the terry cloth had more normal development. Well, that's the impact of even modest changes in sensory deprivation. Well, enterprising researchers weren't going to let it go at that. And so they wondered, golly, I wonder what would happen to graduate students if we completely blocked off their sensory deprivation, completely blocked off their senses. And they were plunged into tanks of water, blindfolded with, you know, tanks and wetsuits and whatnot. And what they found is that the brain doesn't like it very much when it can't distinguish between reality and what's going on in your head. And some students who underwent that experiment had some bad experiences. Willa is one of them.
It's funny because I feel like people pay for that these days. Aren't there like deprivation tanks that people pay a lot of money to go like float in water in the dark?
I flew to Dubai and paid some guy to just cut off my senses.
Didn't Aaron Rodgers essentially just do this?
No, he did ayahuasca. I mean, he's immunized from everything.
No.
Similar principle, he went into a dark room. But you're exactly right.
I've been in
but
a dark room.
There's a huge difference between sensory decrease and total sensory deprivation.
Okay.
It's the difference between going into a pitch black auditorium and your brain is trying to figure things out, and then light a single candle in a corner of the auditorium. That small increase in perception makes all the difference in the world. And the tanks that people are spending a lot of money on to submerge themselves in are really sensory reduction experiences, not sensory deprivation in its entirety.
Got it. All right. Well, so then in total, between the initial research when you thought that the story about the boy was real, to the release of Willow's Pursuit, which was April 15th is when it's coming out?
Yes, it's out now, actually.
Oh, it's
available.
Out now. And so how long have you been working on these stories?
Well, the original story that I read was from a Wisconsin conservation magazine published in 1978. I think I read it maybe in 81. That's what sparked the research that began with the logging. So it's been a long time.
Wow.
So when people say, well, how long does it take you to write a book? Well, 5 decades?
I'll tell you how long it takes to write two books.
In this case, it did.
Wow. So this was something that sparked your interest. And at this point, because you've done a lot of different things. You've been a high school teacher, as you said. Then you went out and got your MBA and you worked in business. And so was this always kind of in the back of your head, even as you were having different careers?
It was. Really, a lot of interest in it. And the more I looked into it, even after the disappointment of finding out that this article that prompted the initial investigation was a hoax, these immigrant family experiences, particularly as it pertains to the state of Wisconsin, was so interesting to me that I continued to do background research. For example, what I was unaware of, so northern Wisconsin was cut over of the pines. And people were then, in 1920, they were beginning to log the hardwoods. Well, there were millions of acres of cutover land with no value. They're huge tree stumps and rocks. Well, enterprising realtors went to Europe following World War I when these immigrants are getting on boats to come here to sell them farms. and they would prepay for these farms, and they'd show them brochures of the beautiful farms. Well, what they were buying was 40 or 80 acres of stumps and rocks. Oh, so these poor folks showing up here having prepaid. Now, these are destitute people prepaying for these properties, and there were no refunds. Yeah. Some would only require 50% down. Regardless, this is buyer's remorse on steroids when you get there and look at your farm. And you know, you're going to dig up stumps that are the size of a bed, and without a tractor. And you have hundreds of them, and then to plant your farm. Also, there isn't a woods to cut down to build your farmhouse with. And there are communities in northern Wisconsin, Little Croatia, and there's some others that escape me at the moment, that are entire communities from that originated with immigrants from that country that came here and got hoodwinked in buying this land. So it was an unscrupulous beginning that brought many of these immigrants to northern Wisconsin. That's just one instance.
And Jim, it must have just been, everything must have been so hard just because of the time period that it happened in. And, you know, like you said, not having a tractor, maybe you couldn't even afford a horse. Everything must have just been such a struggle to even survive.
Well, that's really an insightful comment, and we often don't think of our ancestors as having gone through that. But when you think of the devastation of World War I, you have tens of millions of young men killed, which means tens of millions of widows and orphans. You have the Europe completely devastated, and think of the farms and the villages and whatnot. So you have destitute people, children whose educations were stopped in their tracks for 3 or 4 years or more. Well, if you're a second grader and lose 4 or 5 years of your education, you've lost a lot. So you had people that were coming here without that value of education, destitute, and then you have the Spanish flu pandemic that they're greeted to when they get here. There also was social transformation occurring from Victorian and Edwardian to the Roaring Twenties. They're in that same. That's one reason I was attracted to these two time frames, because they were transformational.
So, as far as with the 2 minutes we have left, Jim, what kind of, like, if you like this book, they will like your book. So, what kind of reading or reader do you think would really appreciate Willow's Pursuit and Wisconsin Logging 1921?
Well, there'd be anyone who is interested in history light. They don't want to know names, dates, and places, but if the history is there and it's a part of the story, you learn as you go, and it's painless. Anyone who would have been interested in reading Red Badge of Courage or Tom Sawyer would really enjoy the first one, which has a young boy who is going through those kind of trials and tribulations. Anyone interested in the paranormal might be interested in Willa's Pursuit, because her traumatic experience is actually triggered, it triggers a very extraordinary experience.
Awesome. Well, we will put both of those links for both books on our show notes for today. Jim, thank you so much for joining us today. They both sound super interesting.
Well, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed the time with you.
Absolutely. Have a great day. All right, we'll be back in just a minute to talk about who's at Laughing Tap this weekend. With the great and the small.
Strike up the fiddle if you sing the tune.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Monday morning at 8. Don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. Mainly clear skies overnight with a low of 28. Westerly winds 20 to 25 miles an hour. Daytime highs approaching 49. Tomorrow, bright sunshine expected. Clear skies again tomorrow night. Lows around 28. A blend of clouds and sun Friday with a high of 48. 55 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
Laugh, make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My dad said be an actor, my son. But be a comical one. They'll be standing in lines for those old...
Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. He is Greg Bach. Greg Bach!
Yes.
Who's at the Laughing Tap this weekend?
Your mom. Boom! Comedy.
She's been at the Laughing Tap before, but not on stage.
No, but it was lovely to have her there.
Yeah, she
and
had
you,
fun.
You and Mike. Amir Kay is here.
Okay.
This weekend. Five shows. This is a big one.
That's a big lineup.
Yeah. It's a show on Thursday, two on Friday, two on Saturday. Amir Kay has been on Mad TV. He's done Just for Last Comedy Festival, which is the oldest, biggest comedy festival.
Have you ever gone to Just for Last Comedy Festival?
As a performer?
No. I mean, just in general.
Thanks.
No, I haven't gone as a performer. I went for fun, and it was awesome.
I've never gone. I would like to go one day, but someday I will go. Very funny. We have a clip.
We do have a clip.
Yes.
Sometimes I thought that, too. I was like, I wish Doogie could talk, and then I rethought it, and I'm like, dude, he's so needy. There's no way. He's so needy. If Doogie could talk, and he had a cell phone... I'd leave the house for 5 minutes. I'd check my voicemail. It'd be like, you have 30 new voice messages. Boop. Hey, what's going on? It's me, Doogie. Listen, I know you said we're going for a walk. I just kind of wanted to touch base and see what time you were thinking. Go ahead and give me a call back. I'm at home. Boop. Hey, it's me again. Listen, have you seen my red ball? What we take to the park, can't seem to find her. Anyways, no big deal. Call me when you can. Boop. The Amazon packages are here. Boop. Hey, you're not gonna want to go in the living room. I couldn't hold it. I'm just kidding, it's me, Doogie. You guys let me do that way too long. Thank you so much.
I'm not kidding you. The what precedes that discussion is like another minute and a half, and it's all hilarious. It's just him talking. The whole set basically is him talking about being an Iranian born individual who now lives in America to his dog. And it's so funny. It's so wonderful. And I'm so looking forward to having him. I can't wait to meet him. He just seems like a real cool guy. And I there's nothing better than having really cool people performing at the club.
And I have to say, he has the best set of hair I think I've ever seen in my entire life.
Really?
His hair is gorgeous. And I'm not going to lie, a little jealous, will be a little standoffish at first as I stare at his locks. And then I'll warm up. His hair is amazing.
Oh, I just looked it up.
Wow.
It does look. It's very good. Very good hair.
Yeah.
So five shows. Any sold out? Where are the tickets looking
are still
right now?
Available.
Tickets are still available.
Yep. So go to laughingtap.com.
Best deal in town.
Seriously, $20 a show, no drink minimums. You're getting to laugh with three amazing comics.
Who are the other two comics?
Kate Kincaid, who I've actually never seen personally, but is vouched for by our feature, who is Sohrab Farouzesh. And then Amir Kay. So it's a host, feature, and headliner.
It's a good lineup.
It's a great lineup. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
So I love comedy.
I love comedy. What's
Christopher Walken? I don't know what you were doing.
We were doing something, but I was like, I don't know what we're going for.
Put
right
your hands
now.
Up. No.
Didn't Pedro Pascal do some kind of weird voice when he was on SNL recently? That was funny.
Yes, it was. I can't do that.
What was he? What was the premise?
The premise is he wakes up from a coma and that's his personality.
Oh gosh.
So if you watch that clip, that sketch, then watch his interview with Seth Meyers the following week, it's so wonderful.
And he does it again.
Yeah,
right?
They're talking about, oh my god, it sounds like a Valley Girl walk-in. Oh my god!
And if staying on the Pedro Pascal theme,
let's just always stay on him.
Came across my Twitter feed, Pedro Pascal as mushrooms. So there's a picture of Pedro Pascal in a blue shirt and pants, and then next to him is a blue mushroom that actually looks like what he's wearing.
Yeah.
All tied into The Last of Us and the fungi and all that. It's hilarious.
They did another one too early. He was wearing an outfit, and I think they compared him to a duck. If you watch the Pedro Pascal Oscar Isaac autocomplete interview.
Okay.
I
heard it's really good. You've told me this before.
Oh my God, for the soul. I watch it once a week. It makes it feel so good. Yes, laughingtap.com. Amir K this weekend, 5 shows. Please come on down. We'd love to, excuse me, I'm getting a little emotional here. No, I just have a cough. We'd love to see you down there, and we're going to have a great time. So
sounds fun.
It is fun. You're fun.
You're fun. And this show was fun.
And it's Easter weekend, too.
I always forget about that. I'm going to go see John Wick on Sunday.
That is your penance. Well,
it's Bridget's birthday on Friday, and it's a weekend of birthday activities. And because I can't be there on Saturday, I'm driving them all on Friday. They're going to drive around to breweries and do their thing. And then on Sunday, it's going to be me and her doing brunch, go see John Wick, and then probably go home and fall asleep.
I referred to it as a blood ballet and was told that is an accurate description.
I heard it's the best one of all four.
Oh.
I'm holding back judgment. We'll see. But
Favorite of the three?
The first one. You've got the great, like, I feel like what happened with that movie is that, or those movies, is that he made this great movie and then all of a sudden it was very popular. They said, we want a sequel. And then he's like, oh, I got to make a universe now with all this extra stuff, which is fine. And it's not bad. It's just, it didn't look like a movie conceived in the idea of, oh, I'm going to build this like 10 movie universe where blah,
but isn't
blah,
there
blah.
An argument that Star Wars is the same?
How do you mean?
Weigh
your words carefully.
Well, I am not enough of a Star Wars nerd to know what is true or not true. But didn't it start as... I mean, it's not like George Lucas had this entire universe plotted out before he wrote the first script.
Yes, he did.
I've heard conflicting...
It started in a thing called the Journal of the Wills, which is the prequel.
You have 1.5 minutes before this show ends.
No, we're going over. FCC, do something. I don't care. There's definitely some things out there that were not planned, but he conceived the first trilogy as three movies. You see A New Hope in the theaters in 77. It's not called A New Hope. It's called Star Wars. It wasn't until Empire they renamed it. But then there was always the thing of the next three. And he's like, I'm not going to make those. And then he's like, I'm going to make those. And then they're like, we'll make three more. And people are like, please stop already.
We are going to table this for next week.
Oh, yeah.
And bore anyone who's not a Star Wars fan, potentially. Because I have a lot of follow-up questions to what you just said. And I'm going to do my research in between.
I can't wait.
But you'll have to come back tomorrow to hear about the coffee that makes you poop. Because we never got to that Starbucks story.
Doesn't
but I
coffee
kind of
make you poop?
And I think coffee in general does, but apparently when you add olive oil, even more so. Well, this was a super fun show today. It flew by. Thank you to Joe Zepecki, who was here for the first hour. Greg Bach, always love having you here. Thank you to everyone who called. We had a ton of callers today.
Lots
we had a
of
ton
texts.
Of texts. It's always more fun when you are engaged and you are having your voice heard on the show. So keep it up. And for now, we're going to go on with our Hump Day Wednesday and be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. This has been Ask Goes Wisconsin.
Make them laugh. Make them laugh. Make them laugh.
Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music, and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.